ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम्। हरे कृष्ण। गुड मॉर्निंग। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 10 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड महाराज रघुगुण मीट्स जड़भरत। टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। ब्राह्मण उवाच। त्वयोदितं व्यक्तं अविप्रब्धलब्धं त्वयोदितं व्यक्तं अविप्रलब्ध अविरप्लब्धम् बर्तु समे स्याद् यदि वीरभार गन्तुर् यदि स्याद् अधिगम्यमद्वा पीवेतिराशौ न विदां प्रवाद। ट्रांसलेशन। द ग्रेट ब्राह्मण जड़भरत सेड, माय डियर किंग एंड हीरो, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true. Actually, these are not simply words of chastisement, for the body is the carrier. The load carried by the body does not belong to me, for I am the spirit soul. There is no contradiction in your statements, because I am different from the body. I am not the carrier of the palanquin, the body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. You have said that I am not stout and strong, and these words are befitting a person who does not know the distinction between the body and the soul. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned man would say such things of the spirit soul. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, I am neither fat nor skinny. Therefore, you are correct when you say that I am not very stout. Also, if the object of the journey and the path leading there were mine, there would be many troubles for me. But because they relate not to me but to my body, there is no trouble at all. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge is not disturbed by the pains and pleasures of the material body. The material body is completely separate from the spirit soul, and the pains and pleasures of the body are superfluous. The practice of austerity and penance is meant for understanding the distinction between the body and the soul, and how the soul can be unaffected by the pleasures and pains of the body. Jadabharat was actually situated on the platform of self-realization. He was completely aloof from the bodily conception. Therefore, he immediately took the position and convinced the king. And whatever contradictory things the king had said about his body did not actually apply to him as a spirit soul. Hare Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was talking to his disciples, and he was talking about the quote and unquote rascals and demons. So one disciple, because it was very animated discussion, he said, "Yes, Prabhupada, we must defeat them." And immediately Prabhupada said, "No, no need to defeat them. They are already defeated. You just show your mercy on them. Be compassionate on them." Therefore, the demons might not realize, but they are being defeated by the indefatigable material energy. So devotees, they just have to be compassionate, or rather instruments of Prabhupada's compassion, and they have to show mercy to all living beings. Of course, King Raghuguna is a devotee, and Jadabharat is now showing his mercy to him. This is the first time Jadabharat is actually speaking in life, and now he is going to instruct King Raghuguna and to all of us also with his wonderful instructions. And we know the history of how Jadabharat was actually emperor of the whole planet at one time. But because of his attachment to a deer, he gave up his body thinking of a deer, and subsequently got the body of a deer in the next life. But the Lord was very merciful to him and he could remember the Lord in the body of a deer and then went on to give up this body and take the body of Jadabharat, who was absorbed in Krishna right from beginning. For the main theme that stands out very, very distinctly, very clearly in this entire episode, which Srila Prabhupada also brings out, is the amazing ability of Jadabharat of being equanimous, being equipoised, and being fixed up and absorbed in Krishna. So Jadabharat displayed tolerance to all bodily discomfort, which we have been hearing for the past few days in the Bhagavatam classes. So he has been very, very tolerant, and at the same time, this tolerance was not simply external act, because we can't simply keep tolerating. Brahmaji says, Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana eva atmakritam vipakam ridvag vapurbir vididam namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. So it's not simply tolerance, but a devotee, he remembers Krishna in the heart always. Therefore, Jadabharat was not only tolerating bodily inconveniences, but he was absorbed in Krishna. And this absorption in Krishna consciousness and remembrance of Krishna makes a devotee very special. Even Srila Prabhupada could withstand severe bodily discomforts because of this absorption in Krishna. In August 1974, when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, it was a major fiasco at that time. Prabhupada had been called for grand opening of the Vrindavan temple and nothing had been constructed. And Prabhupada was heavy, he was chastising everyone because Prabhupada's offering to Krishna had been disturbed. And at this time, Prabhupada fell very seriously sick. And Shrutakirti Prabhu was Prabhupada's servant. At that time, Prabhupada got the news that Mr. Akbar Ali Khan, who is the governor of Uttar Pradesh, he is touring Vrindavan and he wants to see this site. And Prabhupada for the last 3 weeks was down with heavy fever, 104 degrees, and he had not eaten anything. He was just eating 2 or 3 slices of orange and some slices of chikku. That's all. And he was telling devotees again and again that my father left his body like this by fasting, by not eating. So devotees were very scared for Prabhupada's life. And at this time the governor came, and when devotees informed Prabhupada, Prabhupada thought that the governor might help in getting cement and other materials, because there was a problem with the government. It was not sanctioning these things. So Prabhupada said, I want to meet the governor. The disciples assured Prabhupada, Prabhupada, no, we will meet him, we will take care of him, you don't worry, you take rest. Prabhupada insisted, no, I have to meet him. So with that temperature of 104 degrees, Shrutakirti Prabhu helped Prabhupada get up. Prabhupada was putting on tilak. It took him 5 minutes to simply put on tilak. He was almost delirious by his condition. And finally, they brought him in front of the veranda. Gunarnava Prabhu, Shrutakirti Prabhu, all devotees, they had put up very nice red carpet welcome for the governor. Devotees were standing on both sides doing kirtans. And at the center, Prabhupada was sitting on his chair. And when the governor came, they put a garland on him and they welcomed him. And Prabhupada was so weak and exhausted with the high temperature. But as soon as the governor came, Prabhupada got up, smiled and shook hands. And both sat down. Now, except for the devotees, nobody else knew that Prabhupada was very sick. And Prabhupada was putting up with this kind of social pretense, smiling at the governor, talking. And then the governor gave a speech about how industrialization is the only way for India. Then after he gave a speech, he sat down and there were book tables, prasadam was kept, and then Prabhupada got up. Prabhupada spoke for 25 minutes on India's culture. And then Prabhupada sat down. And to top it all, Prabhupada and the governor, Prabhupada had not eaten anything for the past few weeks. Now Prabhupada and governor, they sat together and ate the whole feast. Prabhupada had no appetite. And we all have this experience. When we are sick, we can't eat anything. We get disgusted by the sight of food. Prabhupada took that entire prasad. And then when the governor left, Prabhupada came up to the car and governor sat. And as soon as the car left, Prabhupada collapsed. And they took him to the room and he had 105 degrees temperature. Of course, a few days later, the fever subsided and Prabhupada went on, carried on with this preaching activity and devotional service. For this absorption of Prabhupada was evident time and again. And this is the characteristic of pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada revealed this, all these characteristics of tolerance, of being merciful, of also being absorbed in Krishna despite all impediments and problems in one of the most legendary pastimes in ISKCON. And that happened between 1971 to 1973. Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay and devotees had been staying in this Akash Ganga building in Malabar Hill. And Prabhupada wanted a temple in Bombay. And of course, Prabhupada had said that there should be a temple here nearby, indicating to this temple. But also Prabhupada at that time wanted to build a magnificent temple for preaching Krishna consciousness. And he thought the best place would be somewhere in the suburbs. And devotees were not happy with this, because devotees are comfortable staying in Malabar Hill where all the rich life members were staying and they had a comfortable place. And they thought suburbs would be very difficult, very austere. But Prabhupada was fixed. Prabhupada's vision was very clear. He wanted to establish a beautiful temple. And at that time, in November 1971, Prabhupada got this news that one Mr. N is agreeing to give Prabhupada 5 acres of land in Juhu area. So Prabhupada immediately got excited. And Prabhupada remembered that in August 1965, when Prabhupada was planning to go to America, he would walk through that area every day and he would go to Sumati Muraji's house and give Bhagavatam classes to her and her friends. And when he would walk by that area, he would look at this land and he would say, oh, what a beautiful place, we should have a Radha Krishna temple here. So that, for Prabhupada thought that this land which is being offered to Mr. N is Krishna fulfilling that desire. So he thought that I should reciprocate, I should grab this land. So he came, he agreed, so they met Mr. N and his wife. But there were some problems also, because everybody told Prabhupada that Mr. N is a very dubious person. He has heavy political connections. Not only that, he was the former sheriff of Mumbai, which is an honorary judicial police position. And he is presently the editor and publisher of one of the largest selling English newspapers in Bombay. He knows all the influential men. And he is also has a reputation of cheating many people in land transactions. He owns a lot of property in South Bombay, also in suburbs. So taking land, given these circumstances, is a very risky proposition. But Prabhupada was determined, because he thought of this land as a wonderful offering for Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada agreed and they met in his own quarters in Juhu area. And they agreed, and Mr. N was very cooperative, very friendly. And they agreed on the price of 16 lakhs. And Prabhupada, the agreement was Prabhupada would pay 2 lakhs down payment immediately. And 14 lakhs would be paid slowly. And within that 2 lakhs also Prabhupada made further negotiations. That we will pay 50,000 immediately. And after we pay the remaining 50,000, then we will move into the land. And then after we pay 1 lakh, the down payment would be complete. And then we will get the deed, the conveyance of the land. So this was the agreement. So Mr. N was very happy, very cooperative. He said, yes, yes. They agreed. And when Prabhupada came with all the disciples there, Tamal Krishna Maharaj saw this land. He was shocked. He said, Prabhupada, we will live here. Prabhupada, we are Americans. We are used to doorknobs. We are used to, you know, taps, shower. And Prabhupada said, don't you want to get purified? And this statement touched the hearts of all the devotees so deeply that they realized that Prabhupada is expecting all of us to make sacrifices in his preaching mission. And Prabhupada himself was undergoing so much austerity and was doing so much sacrifice. So they all happily agreed to stay there. So by this time, a couple of months had passed, January 1972, Prabhupada was now going for a 10-day tour of South India, Madras, Vishakhapatnam. And he told the disciples that you pay the remaining 50,000, move into the land, and then pay the remaining 1 lakh and get the deed. So he went for 10 days. Sorry, he had not gone to Madras this time. He had gone to Jaipur. So when he came back, and it was only for a few days, 1 week. And when he came back from Jaipur, he was shocked. Devotees had no interest. They had not paid the money. They had not moved in. So Prabhupada was upset. Prabhupada immediately told Madhudisha Swami, who was the in charge that time. And Madhudisha Swami said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry. I can't do this. I'm unable to do this. I'm not able to do this job of getting these things done. And after he expressed his inability, Prabhupada realized that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was also not there, because Prabhupada had given him sannyas in Jaipur and he was not traveling. So he was without a manager, and he wanted a manager to manage his entire Jew land. And he thought the best person would be Brahmananda Swami. And Brahmananda Swami was in Nairobi that time. So Prabhupada would give a Bengali saying. There is a Bengali saying that if you want something, you should do it by your own hand. So Prabhupada quoted this Bengali saying and said, I want Brahmananda for this project. So I only have to go to Nairobi and get him. So Prabhupada went to Nairobi, caught hold of Brahmananda Prabhu and asked Brahmananda Prabhu that. First question he asked him, so Brahmananda Swami, which is the most important city in India? Brahmananda Swami said, Calcutta, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, don't you know? Bombay is number one. Delhi is two, Calcutta is three. So Bombay is the most important city and I want you to be in Bombay. Of course, he couldn't refuse Prabhupada and he agreed and he came. And then Brahmananda Prabhu, Prabhupada and Mr. N and Prabhupada's lawyer, Mr. D, they all met Mr. N and they agreed on this contract, and Mr. N was very friendly and things went ahead. But now, Prabhupada went to Madras and Vishakhapatnam, and by the time he came back, devotees paid the remaining 50,000 and they moved in. And when they moved in, they were welcomed with rats, mosquitoes, flies. They saw so many liquor bottles lying everywhere. They saw open sewage. And for these American devotees, this was very, very austere, to say the least. But then Brahmananda Swami came. And he gave a new impetus. Prabhupada had organized a big pandal program in the area. So Brahmananda Swami pepped up all the devotees and they put up a big pandal. And for making that pandal, Mr. N himself sent people to help. Mr. Sethi, the neighbor, came. They also helped. So it was all going good so far. And then Prabhupada played a very transcendental tactic. He invited Radha Ras Bihari to this land. So devotees said, Prabhupada, very bad conditions. How are you getting Radha Ras Bihari ji here? Prabhupada said, once they take their proprietorship over the land, nobody will remove them. So Prabhupada knew that this is very much needed. So Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada prayed to the deities. My dear Radha Ras Bihari ji, you please agree to stay here. I promise you, I will build a magnificent temple for you. Please stay here and accept this worship. So this was his reciprocation with the deities. And Prabhupada brought the deities there. And then the pandal program, every day 500 people came, which was very less compared to the downtown Bombay where they had a year ago with 20,000 people attending. But Prabhupada was happy because it was in their own land and every day they were distributing khichdi, halwa. And then Prabhupada did another thing. He also did the groundbreaking and cornerstone laying ceremony. All these things were done. And Prabhupada was outraged to know that Brahmananda Swami agreed to pay the contractors of the pandal 40,000 rupees. Prabhupada said, you Americans are always being cheated. So when these contractors came to take money, guess how much Prabhupada paid them? 4,000 rupees. And they were like fighting with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, go away. You are making 500% profit and don't demand anything. And Prabhupada was heavy with them. So Prabhupada again was instructing his disciples how we should not get cheated, how we should not allow Krishna's money to get stolen and cheated. By this time, as expected, neighbors started getting disturbed by the kirtans, by the pandal program. And they were also angry with Mr. N because he was not helping them in many ways. He was not cleaning up and he was not helping them in their building, renovation, things like that. And devotees began to feel the tension. And Brahmananda Swami said, Prabhupada, I have to go back to Nairobi because my preaching is getting affected there. Prabhupada said, okay. Madhudisha Swami said, I am uninspired. Prabhupada said, okay, go back to Australia. Now there was no manager here. And Prabhupada desperately wanted a manager. So Prabhupada said, management means simple. You need to have a simple person who is very good in Krishna consciousness. And that is Giriraj. That time Giriraj Maharaj was a brahmachari. So he said, Giriraj Swami is a very good preacher. And he called him and he said, Giriraj, you will become the temple president. You will manage this whole Jew project. And he wanted to say no. Maharaj recollects later on that I was no way prepared for this because I had never taken any responsibility, and here Prabhupada was proposing a major responsibility. But he knew theoretically that one should always follow Guru. So he says, I just, because of the theoretical understanding, I told Prabhupada, yes, Prabhupada. And then 2 days later, Prabhupada looked at him and Prabhupada winked and smiled. Prabhupada said, so Giriraj, now the whole burden is on you. And when Prabhupada said that, Giriraj Maharaj was trembling at the prospect of what's going to happen now. But then because he was surrendered, Prabhupada said, Giriraj Maharaj has two wonderful qualities. That is very, very submissive and is very, very Krishna conscious. Because of these two qualities, Prabhupada said he can manage, and Prabhupada encouraged him to undertake this major project. And now Prabhupada was planning one of the major world tours. This was March, April 1972. Now for half a year Prabhupada would be gone. And in these 6 months, before Prabhupada went, they had already paid the remaining 1 lakh. 2 lakhs was already paid to Mr. N. So what the devotees had to do now was, within the 6 month period that Prabhupada would be away, they had to get the deed from Mr. N. And they had to start construction. That's all. So Prabhupada gave them instructions and Prabhupada embarked. He went to Australia, from Australia, Japan, from Japan to Hawaii, then America, then South America, then Europe. Like that, it was a major tour. And Prabhupada went, and before going, he also instructed on architectural designs and many other things. And after Prabhupada left, Prabhupada got no news. When he was in Australia, no news about Juhu land. What is happening? Then Prabhupada went to Hawaii. And finally in Hawaii, he got a letter from Giriraj saying that, we have just paid 7,500 rupees to Mr. N. And Prabhupada was shocked. Prabhupada said, first you are supposed to get the deed. And then the installments is supposed to start. And Giriraj Maharaj said, yeah, that is actually right. But then he said, he asked for money and I gave him. And Prabhupada became concerned. Prabhupada began to doubt the ability of his managers in Bombay. And he began to suspect Mr. N's motives. Because now, Mr. N began to show his real nature. So he started demanding money from the devotees. Okay, give some 8,000 rupees, give money like this. So devotees were complying initially. And then when Prabhupada wrote a letter from Hawaii saying that, get the deed immediately. So devotees went to Mr. N, Giriraj Maharaj went and said, give me the deed. And Mr. N said, first you have to pay 5 lakh rupees. So they were shocked. It was not mentioned in the agreement at all. They said, this is the sales gains tax which the government has imposed. So you have to pay. But then devotees figured out that he has to pay that sales gains tax, not the devotees. So then he said, okay, I will pay, but I don't have money now, you give me the money. So Giriraj Maharaj said, we don't have any money. So Mr. N said, okay, you take from your temples in America, you have so many temples. You take bank loan. So Giriraj Maharaj, he was simple, so he went to the banks for loan. And they said, you don't have any credit, you don't have any standing, so we can't give you loan. So then Maharaj began to feel that it's a very complicated situation turning up now. And when Prabhupada wrote letter to, when Giriraj Maharaj wrote letter to Prabhupada saying that he's demanding 5 lakh rupees, Prabhupada was very disturbed. And then Giriraj Maharaj came to know from other devotees and other people that Mr. N had cheated one C company. There was one company which also was sold the same land by Mr. N. So they were also having the proper ownership of this land in one sense. But he had influenced the government to stop them and not give them permission for constructing there. He had influenced the government also. So Mr. C company, the C company was also wanting that land. And Prabhupada also had this land. And if the government ruled in favor of C company, they would get the land. Mr. N would have all the money of Prabhupada. So devotees will be left in the lurch. So they figured out all these tricky things that were happening. But they didn't say anything. And they wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada began to see all these things. And he could fit them in proper place. And he began to see the devious plan of Mr. N. And these contradictions became apparent. And Prabhupada met Sumati Morarji in London. He had gone. And he requested her to be the chairman of the board of trustees for this temple and help in financial ways to get this project moving. And finally, Prabhupada sent a telegram to Giriraj. He said, whatever happens, go and press him to get the deed, the conveyance. We want it because then we can start the construction. So this time when Giriraj Maharaj went, Mr. N had another trick up his sleeve. He said, but you can't get the deed because you don't have permission from the charity commissioner. But they had never mentioned this earlier. There is nothing mentioned in the agreement also. So Giriraj Maharaj said, charity commissioner? But why? Mr. Ryan said, because you are a public charitable trust and you have to get permission. So then he went to the charity commissioner's office. And there they said, you are supposed to get permission 6 months before signing the agreement. Now you didn't do that. So then Maharaj and all the devotees began to feel that this is too much. This is too complicated. There is no way we can go ahead with this. It's a huge Gordian knot. And they wrote a long letter to Prabhupada, who was in New Vrindavan that time. That, Prabhupada, I think this, it's not worth it. We should not go ahead with this program. And Giriraj Maharaj finally wrote in that letter that I want to resign as the president because it's too messy. And this was the most disturbing news so far. Prabhupada didn't want the presidency to change. Immediately wrote a letter. He said, no, just wait till I come back. Just manage till I come back. And then Prabhupada started writing letters to Mr. N, his lawyer, and none of them were replying. And finally, Prabhupada got the most shocking news. He got a letter from this lawyer saying that I am no longer your attorney. And then everything was clear. Mr. N and the lawyers had tied up together. It was a big plot right from the beginning to cheat the devotees of all their money. But Prabhupada, because he was absorbed in this offering, wonderful offering to Radha and Krishna, he was not the one to let it go. He was not the one to give up to this crooked Mr. N. So immediately he told the devotees, don't worry, put an ad in the newspaper that Hare Krishna, they have entered into a land agreement with Mr. N. So they put an ad. And meanwhile, Prabhupada wanted more devotees to manage. He knew that Giriraj Maharaj alone cannot do. So he sent stalwarts, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhavananda Prabhu, Karandar Prabhu, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, all of them, and Giriraj Maharaj, all of them to manage this whole thing. But this one person, Mr. N, he was a very tough nut to crack for all of them combined. And when he got the news that they have put an ad in the newspaper, this infuriated him like anything. He got so wild. He started abusing all the devotees. He said, I am cancelling the agreement. Your 2 lakh rupees and all the 1000 rupees that you have given me is mine. Now get out of the land. You won't get the land. You won't get your money. Get lost. So devotees are very disturbed. And Giriraj Maharaj kept pleading to him, apologizing to him. He paid full obeisances to him. But Mr. N was not willing to agree. He was not appeased. And he became so angry, he shut all the water supply to the Hare Krishna land. One hooligan, some gundas would be standing outside the land with branding a machete, trying to scare the devotees. And then one of his friends, he started distributing leaflets in the Vileparle railway station, ascribing all scandalous behavior to the Hare Krishna devotees. Like that, all negative propaganda he started doing. So, then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, all these big stalwarts wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that, Prabhupada, we should relinquish this land because there are too many rats, flies, mosquitoes, village dogs, poisonous snakes, and devotees are getting all kinds of tropical diseases, malaria, hepatitis. It's too tough. It's almost impossible. And Prabhupada got this letter when he was in Vrindavan. He had traveled and he had come to India now. And Prabhupada saw that letter. And systematically, very intelligently, Prabhupada studied the terms of agreement. Prabhupada had a copy of the terms of agreement. And systematically defeated each point that Mr. N was trying to bewilder the devotees with. Like he said, he studied the whole thing. And he said, charity commissioner's permission is delayed, not denied. So press for it, you will get it. Prabhupada said, pay the 5 lakh rupees, no problem. Like that, Prabhupada was giving practical solutions. And finally, Prabhupada came to know that Mr. N is now threatening violence. So Prabhupada gave another suggestion to the devotees. He said, file a criminal case against Mr. N. So this was a bigger blow to Mr. N. He had never thought that this old man and his few American disciples could be such a strong force to reckon with. But he was taken aback. And then Prabhupada from Vrindavan, before coming to Bombay, went to Hyderabad. And Mr. N also happened to be in Hyderabad. And till this time, Shyam Sundar Prabhu still had good relations with Mr. N. Because Mr. N was fond of his daughter, Saraswati. So Shyamasundara Prabhu requested Mr. N, please meet Prabhupada. Prabhupada is in Hyderabad and you can agree. So Mr. N was suspicious of Prabhupada. So he brought his guru with him. He had one special guru. He thought if guru is there, then Prabhupada might try some tricks on me. My guru will help offset that. So they met. So they signed on a new agreement. So they had to discuss all that. When they were discussing, they had heavy prasad and Mr. N's guru started yawning. And he said, Swamiji, you must be very tired. He told Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, I am very tired. We should take rest. So Mr. N and his guru were taking rest in another room. And after some time, Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and said, if somebody tells you are very tired, that means he is tired. So this guru and Mr. N must be fast asleep in the other room. So go quietly and call Mr. N. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went, and sure enough, that guru was snoring loudly. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj quietly woke up Mr. N and slowly brought him out. And he and Prabhupada had a long discussion. And they came out with a new agreement that they will complete the deed in 3 weeks and things like that. Many other technical things were agreed upon. And then Prabhupada came back to Bombay. But again, Mr. N was not paying because devotees paid him 5 lakh rupees. Still, he was not giving the deed. Prabhupada went to Ahmedabad, and when he was in Ahmedabad, he got the news that the devotees had cancelled the deed. Because the lawyers in Bombay, they convinced the devotees that if you don't cancel the deed, you won't get any of your money back. It is impossible to go ahead. And they actually cancelled the deed. And this shocked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very upset. But Prabhupada was the last man to give up this land. Because he said, Mr. N has bewildered all of you. He is a crook. And you are getting caught by his tricky ways. For then, if I maintain the possession of the land, don't leave this land. And this, now at this time, we can see Prabhupada's intense devotional absorption. There was so much tension going on, but Prabhupada intensified his preaching activities. This was November, December 1972. And Prabhupada organized a major pandal program in downtown Bombay. And 20,000 people were attending every day. There was major food for life, book tables, and the mayor of Bombay, big ministers, they were all coming for the program. Massive preaching was going on. Though Prabhupada had so much anxiety and so many problems are going on regarding the land issue, but Prabhupada's preaching was unaffected. Prabhupada's service to Krishna was unaffected. And finally in January, Mr. N and Prabhupada met, and this time they were barely civil to each other. Prabhupada told him that, Mr. N started chastising Prabhupada. You are claiming ownership on this property. Prabhupada said, we are not the owners. Krishna is the owner. We have given you money. Why don't you give the land? So he said, you are all CIA agents and things like that. And then Prabhupada started shouting. Prabhupada said, give us the money. If you don't have, do you have the money? You give us the money. We will vacate tonight only. And then he said, I will personally come and break your temple. I will break the deities. I will remove the deities. I will break the temple. And he shouted and he abused. And he stormed out of the room. And a few days later, he had a massive heart attack, Mr. N. And a couple of weeks later, he died in the hospital. And this time, by this time, after a few months, Mrs. N, his wife, she was not as strong as her husband, but she was also very determined to not allow Prabhupada and the devotees to get the land. So things were going on smoothly, in the sense, nothing was happening. And suddenly in June, she sent her men. She had influenced somebody in the municipality. And suddenly all the demolitionists came and they started demolishing the temple. And devotees began to show some papers they had. But these 100 demolitionists came there with strong blow torches and sledgehammers and they were breaking the temple. And then a lot of policemen came who dragged the devotees by their legs and arms and they were throwing them out. They were dragging Matajis with their hair and they were pulling them out. So it was a very, very bad situation. And finally one Mataji, she ran and she called Mr. Mahadevia who knew one of the most influential political leaders in Maharashtra. Then he called up the municipal commissioner and somehow at the last minute at 2 o'clock in the afternoon they managed to stop when the demolitionists had almost come up to the altar to break the temple. And it was averted at the last minute. And then when Prabhupada got this news, Prabhupada said, no problem, start a major campaign. Now, because Mrs. N owned the newspaper, next day headlines was illegal temple demolished. But then because of this bad propaganda, actually turned in the favor of devotees, because many people didn't know that there is a temple there. So now they came to know that there was a temple, so they all started coming there. And Giriraj Maharaj and others, they started doing massive publicity, generating public support. And by this time, public reaction went against Mrs. N. And in these 2 days, Giriraj Maharaj went to the municipal office to request them to rebuild the temple, because they are the one who had demolished it. But there, he got the news that Mrs. N had filed for a court injunction to stop them from rebuilding. And it was Friday afternoon. And the court said, we will give the decision on Monday. Because Friday afternoon, we'll hear the devotees also and give the decision on Monday morning. So now they had 2 days left. So devotees thought, if we don't build the temple now, and on Monday if they say you can't build the temple, then we can't build at all. So might as well build it up now, because there was no ruling preventing them from rebuilding. Though nobody said, the law also said you can't build. It was not directly said that you can build, nor was it saying that you can't build. So they said, might as well build the temple. So Saturday and Sunday, 2 days, and Friday night it was raining heavily. This was June 1st week. And they went ahead with the construction. And in 2 days they made up that temporary temple. They managed and everything was ready. And Monday morning, when Justice Naini saw and he heard from different people, and then he heard that the temple is already there, he said, what is built is built. Nobody can demolish this temple now. So Prabhupada said, this is a major victory for us. And as Mrs. N realized that public opinion is going completely against her, she agreed to Prabhupada's proposal. And she agreed to give the land to devotees if they paid 14 lakh rupees at one installment. And Prabhupada agreed. And finally, they signed the treaty. And she started crying a lot. And she begged forgiveness from Prabhupada also. Prabhupada told her that you are like my daughter. I will take care of you. All your needs for the rest of your life, Prabhupada assured her. And they signed the treaty. And Giriraj Maharaj says, when both of them are signing, it was appearing as if two world superpowers are signing some treaty. It was massive fight had gone on for 2 years, and now everything was being settled. So then the whole thing was done, and there was a huge feast after that. And Prabhupada mentioned to all the devotees after that, this land cost 50 lakh rupees and we managed to get it for only 18 lakhs, because Radha Rasbihariji wanted to come here. In fact, later on Srila Prabhupada also said, Devamrita Maharaj was once saying, that Prabhupada said, by my business logic, I would have never entered into this land. But Krishna covered my intelligence, because I had made a promise to Radha Rasbihariji that I want to make a temple for you. For they allowed this desire of mine to get fulfilled, to serve them. So like this, we see how a devotee is completely absorbed in his service to Krishna. And of course, temple by itself is not everything. Like His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one recent class, that Prabhupada built so many temples mainly for 2 reasons. One is definitely to preach and broadcast the message to the whole world. But another important thing which we should never neglect is to, the temples are built to purify the members who are connected to the temple. That is also very important. Therefore, he was saying that temple is the preliminary stage of Prabhupada's compassion. To make the temple what it is supposed to be requires much greater sacrifice and much greater compassion. And actually, you see, this entire pastime of Srila Prabhupada, it reveals, in Satsurupa Maharaj writes in the Lilamrit, he gives a purport to this entire pastime in the end. He says, this reveals 2 major qualities of Prabhupada. One is his tolerance. That so many things were happening, and he was just tolerating. He was tolerating the indecisiveness of his own disciples. He was tolerating so many external impediments that are coming. And another quality that comes out very strikingly is Prabhupada's compassion. Prabhupada could have thought, when the BMC people were trying to demolish the temple, he could have thought that these people are useless, they don't need the temple. I've got hundreds of temples all over the world, let me preach in other places in India. But no, Prabhupada wanted even people in Mumbai to get benefit of Krishna consciousness. This was his unlimited compassion and his mercy. And therefore, as today's purport also Prabhupada is writing, that human life is meant for self-realization. Not simply fulfilling the bodily needs and bodily urges of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Because even the animals are doing this anyway. So we are supposed to engage all our propensities, all our intelligence in the service of Krishna. And this reminds me that few years ago, all brahmacharis were given two cloth hangers to hang their kurtas. Everybody was given two each, I remember. And we have an open passage here and we would dry our kurtas there. And after a few months, it was observed that very few hangers are left. Many hangers were missing and authorities chastised the brahmachari saying that you are irresponsible, you are losing. And then of course, things are forgotten. And then an amazing discovery took place. A year later, a few of us were doing japa, we were walking there in the corridor doing japa. And one devotee saw on that huge, that tall tree, on the temple premises, there is one tall tree within the courtyard. And on the top of the tree, there was a beautiful nest of the crows. And that nest was entirely made of hangers. And we were all shocked. How did the birds, no human being would have gone up and put all the hangers and made a nice nest. But these birds had so much intelligence to come quietly, pick up one hanger from this open corridor. Some of them must have taken one by one, quietly made a beautiful nest. And none of these birds ever went to IIT or they don't have any civil engineering degree. But expert, Krishna has given them the intelligence to build houses, to defend. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending, animals are anyway better than us. So Prabhupada is writing in today's purport that human life is not meant for that. We have to engage in self-realization. We have to engage in service of Krishna. And somebody might say how we can do this. Prabhupada says we should seek association of saintly persons. And once one devotee asked Prabhupada that how can we know somebody is a saintly person? Prabhupada said a saintly person is he who is addicted to Krishna. So a devotee who is always talking about Krishna and is increasing our attraction to Krishna, we should take his association. One time when Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, one man challenged Prabhupada. He said, have you seen God? And Prabhupada said, pure devotee will never say that he has seen God. Because pure devotee has never seen God. He has not seen God. He is seeing God every moment. Then he quoted, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Radeshu Vilokayanti. Sadeva. He is always remembering Krishna. He is always absorbed in Krishna. And therefore we see Srila Prabhupada is always absorbed in Krishna. Despite so many problems and so many controversies, he was able to offer and make this wonderful offering for Krishna. And when we get attached to Prabhupada and Prabhupada's sincere followers in this mission, we also make rapid spiritual advancement. And as the Bhagavatam says, Prasanga Majaram Pasham Kavayo Atmano Vidu Sa Eva Sadusho Kruto Moksha Dwaram Apavritam. This attachment to any material things is entangling. But when the same attachment is transferred to pure devotee, Sa Eva Sadusho Krito Moksha Dwaram Apavritam, the doors to liberation are open. And thus we can perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.